Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure you are very strong. So can we take 2 hours? We can take 2 hours. Amen. So we are going to go faster. And then higher and deeper into the word. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because the story begins in Genesis. So in Genesis, the Bible tells us the story of Adam. So how many parts did Adam have? How did God make Adam? The Bible tells us there is a first Adam. Okay, thank you. And then also tells us that there is a second Adam. Amen. So we have the first Adam. And then the second Adam. The first Adam is in the Old Testament. And then the second one is in the New Testament. And the two of them were sons of God. Amen. So the first Adam was taken from the ground. And the Bible also tells us this first Adam that God breathed into the ground, into the earth. Okay, and that breath speaks of heaven, is it not so? So in the first Adam, heaven was in him. Do you understand that?
Yes.
In the first Adam, there was heaven in him. Because God breathed into him. There was a breath of God in him. The life of God came into that piece of him.
Amen.
So the Bible says, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. And it says, Adam became a living soul. So what that means is that the soul is made up of the heaven and the earth. So the soul has two natures. Are we agreed on that? Are we agreed? If you agree, say praise God. Praise God. Okay, good. So, so within you, and within the first Adam, and in the children of the first
Adam,
there was heaven in them. So the Bible said that when this first Adam dies, when he dies, when he's dead, God said, "Dust thou art, and to dust you will return." The spirit goes back to God. And the soul goes to God for judgment. The soul goes to God for judgment. So the Bible says, it is appointed unto a man that when he is dead, or when he dies, his soul goes to God for judgment. And every one of us is made in the nature of the first Adam, isn't it
also?
So, in the nature of the first Adam, there is heaven in him. So there is heaven in you. But, you know, when we were drinking the old wine, they didn't tell us that heaven is in you. They didn't tell us that heaven was in us. We thought heaven was somewhere very, very far. So Jesus told them that the kingdom of God is coming to you. That the kingdom of God is within you. So when the new Adam came, or the second Adam came, he said he was the Son of God. And the Bible says that the fullness of the Godhead was dwelling bodily in him. So when this new Adam was going to be born, when he was born, the Bible says they will call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Does anybody know? God is where?
With us.
Do you believe it? That God is in you. How can God be in you when there is no heaven in you? God lives in heaven, is it not so? Where does God live? God dwells in heaven, is it not so? God dwells in heaven, is it not so? So the only way God can dwell in you is that there is heaven in you. Amen. So you are the new temple. And God is coming in His temple. When Moses finished building the tabernacle, is it not so? When Moses finished building the tabernacle,
ano sa man? O pila man ka mga tuwi na humani Moses paghuman ang iyang katong ipahimo katong tabernakulo.
In Exodus chapter 40.
Sa Exodus kapitulo 14.
The Bible said that the glory of God came into that temple.
Nagayon din ha nga ang himaya sa Dios niabot nato sa iyang templo.
Is it not so? Is it not what happened? And then when Solomon had finished building the temple also, the glory of God came into that temple. And Jesus, when he came, when he was being baptized, the glory of God came into that temple also. So on the day of Pentecost, the glory of God also came. And now, in this end of time, the glory of God is coming upon His people. So there is good news for us. God is coming to His temple. And I want to be part of that experience. And God is giving you the opportunity to be part of that experience. So the Bible says you will call His name Emmanuel. God with us. The Bible says that He is the fullness of Him that filleth all things.
Amen.
So it says, in my Father's house there are many, many mansions.
And
the glory of God is coming to fill every one of those dwelling places. So that is what the Bible means by saying you will call His name Emmanuel. So He is a second Adam. And the Bible says this second Adam is the last Adam. There is no other one coming. Now, this second Adam is a company of sons. It's good for, it will be made of many, 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 many sons. So Jesus is the first of the sons. And all the other sons must be like Him. And this body of sons, the Bible calls them Christ. So Jesus is the Christ. So He is the beginning of Christ. He is the head of Christ.
Siya ang ulo ni Kristo.
He is the head of the body.
Hallelujah.
So the body of Christ is not a denomination. So God is not calling you to a new denomination. It is not a new church. You go from one church to another church. He is calling you to be part of Christ. To be a partaker of Christ. To be a partaker of the fullness of God dwelling in men. So what it means is that God is calling you so that you will be among those people that will have the fullness of God coming in them. So the devil has deceived us to believe that God cannot dwell in men. And while he is telling us that story, the Bible says that he has filled the heart of man with darkness. So the first man God made had a problem. God gave Adam a capacity that only him, God, can feel. But the man fell from that glory. And darkness entered into the man. So the man was taken away from the place of glory. The man began to fall. And began to fall. And the Bible says that the second death is the lake of fire. So if you look at the board, Adam is on a journey.
Okay.
Adam was cast out into hell. He was cast into darkness. And he is going to the lake of fire. So the soul of man is going into the lake of fire. So when a child is born into the world, he begins a journey. It is a journey of going from darkness into greater darkness.
Nagsugod siya sa iyang primero pa niyang pagkatabi, nagsugod siya diha sa pagkumbatan niya na pangingkitan, ngato pa rin sa lapong ng pangingkitan.
There is just only one way of salvation for that person.
Oh, ano na lang may usa na paagi na maluwas siya din kanya na kamaong kaligtigan.
The soul must be brought into the place of deliverance. So there are two patterns. In the Old Testament, it was the animal that was brought into the tabernacle. It was a sacrifice. That was brought into the place of judgment. And the person who was bringing the sacrifice, will lay his hands on the sacrifice. To say that this sacrifice is for my offering, for my sins. And the blood was offered. Upon the four horns of the altar. Now, the four horns of the altar represents the soul of man. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, shall come to the place of judgment. So, what that means is that before you are born again, if you are not born again, it means that your soul is in the place of bringing an offering unto the devil. Because when God made man, he made him to be a priest. Because if you go to Exodus chapter 19, before God gave Moses the 10 commandments, he says, I want you to be a kingdom of priests. Before God brought the Ten Commandments, he was already saying that all the people in Israel, that they were a priest. And this was before God said that Levi, the tribe of Levi, would be the priest in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the children of Aaron and those who were from the tribe of Levi were the ones that were the priests.
Sa tribo sa mga Levita, katulang sila gitugutan na mahimong pari.
They were the only ones who could bring offering. But that was in the Old Testament. But before God brought that order, God was already saying that what the picture in his mind, his plan, was that all the children of Israel will be a nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. They will be a nation of priests. So let us read from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5, it says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Yes, verse 5.
Samas nama patungguhi, panawal kamu, pagkagami, aminyong pagalingon, panawal pagkukul, sa espirituhan ng templo, di magalagad kamu ng pinor ng palaang mga pare, nga makahalag sa espirituhan o makapahibuot nga makahalag nito sa Diyos, pinahagi kang Yesu Kristo.
So, this scripture is saying that in the New Testament, every one of us, that we are a priest.
Atong na batian maisol sa ibasa nato karon nga ang bato nga tubod nagatubog sa matag sa lebanan ng Jesus nga siya ni tugyan ang kamahimong pari.
And we already saw that in the morning that the Bible says you are the temple of the living God.
Gayon na atong nasudyo ang kita ngayon ang templo sa Ginoo mausap diha kung kini karon.
So when a man is born, he's born a priest.
Sa diha nga natao, ang tao natao siya nga usa ka pari.
So when you are an unbeliever, you are still a priest.
Sa diha nga magtutuoy ka.
When you are not born again.
Wala pa ikaw matao, wala pa ka matao pag-usap sa Ginoo. Okay? Ang naanaan sa atong liso, kaya sa sulod na ito ang balik na daan.
Your soul is functioning as a priest.
Giniatong ka lang, nagabuhat siya, isip ko sa kabuhat sa pare.
But you are functioning as a priest of darkness.
Pero, ang iyahang pag-isilos, pagbuhat ni Gini, hindi para sa Diyos, hindi para sa pagkikita o natukang satanas.
Okay, I'm reading from Romans chapter 6.
Natong tanawa pero matinawa na sa buong mga kapitulo 6. Panginoon ko ay isulong na dito.
Romans chapter 6.
Roma kapitulo 6.
Verse 13.
Versículo 13.
It says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves," that is your soul, "unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God."
Ayaw usapin niyo itugyan ang bisang usapahin sa inyong lawas ang gamitong sa lawatang katuyuan. Ngunon, itugyan sa Diyos ang inyong kagalingang ingon ng mga gipanhaw. Ikan sa kamatayon o itugyan ang inyong kagalingang ingon ngayon sa Diyos ang gamitong alam sa manarong katuyuan.
Now, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Okay, I want to read one more scripture. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5.
Sa pinalaya, kapitulo 1, versikulo 5.
Okay, it says, and from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5, who is faithful, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 5 and 6.
Pagkikan ang Jesucristo ang kasalingang saksi ang unang ibanhaw na mausap ang nagbando sa mga hangin sa kalibutan. Higong ba kita niya o pinahagi sa iyang dugo, iluwas kita niya sa atong mga sala.
So the word of God is very clear. That every human being is a priest. Every human being, when you are born into the world, you are born into the world as a priest. Either you are a prince of sin or a prince of righteousness. And the Bible says that if you are a priest of sin, that you will do that unto death, unto darkness. So David says, behold, I was shapen in sin. In iniquity, and he said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Let's look at it. Psalm 51, verse 5. Let me read it. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 5. Say, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Can you read this? So, the soul of man when you are in the world, when you are not born again, you are a priest. You are bringing offerings. And these offerings are coming from your mind. They are coming from your emotions. So the Bible says, do not yield your members. So when the Bible says members, your members are speaking of the different natures in your soul.
Ang kahulugan ini, naga putanya
So Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you know what he means by my house? This is not body, this is my house. My soul is in this house. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you can choose that your house will not serve the Lord. So the first experience that a believer goes through, the place you come to, is a place of judgment. It's called the altar of brass. It is an altar of brass. Brass speaks of judgment. So if you say you have a relationship with God, you need to answer some questions. Has your soul come to the place of judgment? Have you come to the place of judgment? Now, in this place, it is a place of covenant. In other words, you come to the place of blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. So the priest will take the blood and he will apply it at the four horns. Now, the soul of man has four horns, four natures. Now, the soul of man, remember, has two natures also. It has a heavenly nature and an earthly nature. Because God breathed into Adam, is it not so? And where the heaven and the earth met together, a new creation was formed called soul. The soul has four natures. The soul has four realms of the spirit. The mind is part of the soul. And the mind is represented by the ego. The emotion is part of the soul. The desire is part of the soul. And then the will is part of the soul. So if this is the mind, this is the will, And then this is the emotion. And then this is the desire. So the soul of man must come to the place of judgment. And blood must be brought into the four natures of the soul. The blood of Jesus must be applied at the four corners of your soul. That is only when you can say you have a covenant with God. And the blood is coming to bring forgiveness of sin. The blood is coming to judge the darkness in the soul. And in the morning, the Bible says that he will make a new covenant. Make a new covenant. And the new covenant is for the soul. The first covenant did not talk about the soul. So the people still had, the Bible said they had an evil conscience, because their emotions, their mind, their desires were not affected in the sacrifice of the old covenant. But the new covenant is for your soul. Say, I will put my law in the inward part. And it is to bring forgiveness of sin. It's not just to bring forgiveness of sin alone, but to break the power of sin. So that the life of sin will be a thing of the past. So the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. In the old covenant, they will bring the blood. And they will apply it on the table. And the table will become clean. And the vessel will become clean. But the Hebrew book of Hebrews says that in the new covenant, that we are now that covenant, we are now that temple. And the blood of Jesus is to break the power of sin over our lives. So if you say you are a new creation, if you say you are a Christian, if you say you are a believer or a Christian, it means that the power of sin will be broken in your life.
ang dahon sa sala na wag tanga sa ato ang ginabuhi.
You will not be struggling to be a Christian.
Dili na kayo na maningkamot kung sa ang pagkahimong Kristohano, hindi na.
The life of Christ will be coming forth from you.
Ang ginabuhi na ni Kristo, mo'y mugawas ngadto sa ato ang ginabuhi.
Christ will be living in you. Because it says, if any man opens the door, I will come in and dwell in him. So the purpose of the of this new covenant is to break the power of sin, to change the nature of sin. So the tabernacle is the journey of the soul. From darkness into light. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's read the scripture in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 4:4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's wait. Yes.
Dili aron pagkatag kay inyong tagol kun aron sa pagpayag inyo magimahal kamo pagayo. Amen.
So he's saying that
4:4.
Verse 4.
Okay, so
Verse 6 also. Okay, so let's look at, read John chapter 1. Verse 4 and 5, John chapter 1, verse 4 and
5.
4 and 5.
Diyan sa ulong ang ginuhi, o gamo ang ginuhi, mao ang kahayag sa mga tao. Ang kahayag na daan diha sa gamitin, o wala pagkabunto ngini ang gamitin.
Read verse 9 also.
Ang matungod ng kahayag, ngayon sa kalibutan, aron ang tanan, maninagan sa kahayag.
Amen. So every soul that comes into this world comes in darkness. And Jesus is the true light that brings
light.
Amen. So when we come to the tabernacle, it is God begins to do a new experience in us. The light of God begins to come within the soul. And the glory of God begins to come forth within the soul. And remember, the scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, the last verse,
10:39.
Yes. Okay. So we begin the journey of the saving of the soul. So when we come to the brazen altar, we begin the journey. There is another experience. This is the experience of the liver. It is the place of separation. It is also the place of consecration. And it's also the place of baptism. It's also the place of sanctification. So before we were born again, we were part of the world. We were part of the world system. But when we become born again, when we make this covenant with God, we become God's people. And God told Abraham, you must separate yourself. And when you make this covenant with God, you also must separate yourself. There must be a separation from the cultures of your people. There must be a separation from the cultures of your people. And one of the areas of separation is in the area of marriage. And that is one area where the devil has many of us in bondage. And you cannot be a priest when our undergarments are not clean.
support dili siya dito. So na diyan ko diyan nagbabala niya ko sa atas dito nakita.
We see that God told Moses that he had to dress up the high priest and those who are priests.
And Dios isulti nga to Moses.
And there were five types of clothes that they had to wear, five different types of clothing. The first one, which was the foundational dressing, had to do with the what they call the linen breeches. It was a short knicker that he wore, a short dressing that he wore that covered from his knee to his waist. And it was made, it was white in color. And he spoke of righteousness. The righteousness in his loins. So one of the areas we must offer to God is in the area of marriage. It is in the area of relationship. And this is one of the areas where the devil has caused a lot of confusion. The home is the foundation of the church. And in the home, we must get it right. So the Bible says, therefore, shall a man and a woman come together in holy matrimony. It is a man and a woman. In the world today, they say a man and a man can come together. And they say a woman can come together. And they say even before you are married, you can come together. And the Bible says the elder is the husband of one wife. That the elder is the husband of one wife.
Magulang na ito, kinahanglan kayo nga magpatong siya o usala ka asawa.
The elder cannot be the husband of two or three wives.
Ang elder, pwede siya pwede nga duha-tulo, ato na puro ka asawa, hindi pwede.
Amen.
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 Amen. It is one man, one wife.
Usaka lalaki, usaka asawa.
And the marriage is for men and women, not boys and girls. Marriage is for men and women, not boys and girls. A man is a man that is responsible. A man is a man that is responsible. A man is not a boy, A man must be a man that is responsible. And then the woman must be a woman that is also responsible. So a man will marry a woman. And two of them will come together. Because it's an example of Christ and the body. Because in Christ we have one husband, isn't that so? And Christ has also one wife. Amen. So there is a false wife and also a false head. So a man and a woman will come together. And in Christ there is only one marriage. And it is a marriage that is done by the church. So you cannot come together unless the church has prayed for you and borne a witness of you. There is no dating. No dating. You find dating in the world. Boyfriend. Boyfriend. Girlfriend. Is not in the church. There is no boyfriend and girlfriend in the church. Amen. Even Jacob did not know what his wife looked like. So when they brought another woman, he did not even know. He woke up in the night and it was another woman. So there is no place for dating. There is no trial and error. You must get it right. And God doesn't give you a second chance. Amen. So we see that God is raising a new generation. And that generation is the people that have come out. From your nation. From your tribes. And from your families. Well, that is on the natural level. There's also a spiritual level of it. There are three types of soul that we find in the Bible. And that is also another kind of nation. Amen. But we do not have time to go into that today. But it is important for us to know that God is calling us out of the worldly systems. And He is bringing us unto Himself. Now, this brazen laver also speaks of baptisms. There is a baptism in water. And then there is a baptism in the Holy Ghost. Then there is a baptism into Christ. Amen. So if you are born again, if you have believed, then you must be baptized in water. The baptism in water is not a baptism to become a member of a denomination. It is a symbol that we have died to the world. And we are resurrected unto Christ. It also speaks of a separation. A separation from the things of the world into the things of the Spirit. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, when Adam sinned, Adam became carnal. The soul of Adam became carnal. And Adam lost connection with the realms of the heavens. How many of us know God has eyes? How many of us know God has ears? And He has ability to discern, to smell. Say, God smells a good savor, is it not so? And it pleases Him. And it pleases Him. So God made man in His own image. And in His own likeness. So everything that you have on your external is there in the realm of the Spirit. Man has five senses. And four of those senses are in your head. Is it not so? Four of your senses are in your head. So the brain is, or the head is the center of the senses. Is it not so? Your eyes are in your head, is it not so? Your ears are in your head, is it not so? Your nose is in your head, is it not so? And then your taste is also in your head, is it not so? Amen. Say amen. Amen. So what that means is that the mind is the very important part of you, your mind. So the Bible tells us that your mind is the major part of the soul. So the mind is the major place where God deals with you. And the mind is the place where the devil has overcome the church. The mind is where the battle is taking place. And the nature of the mind is the nature of the ego, the heart of a bird. With the mind, man can fly away from God. But in the mind, you also have the ability to be lost in God. So the mind must be saved. And when God wants to talk to you, He will talk to you in your mind. So it is that you must read the Word of God. So, because in the Word of God, the mind of God is revealed. So, the blood must be applied in the mind. And He says, I will make a new covenant and I will put my law in the mind. The new covenant is for the mind. The new covenant is to save the mind. So the experience of the liver, after we are born again, we must give our mind to God. We must consecrate our mind to God. And the devil has brought all his weapons against the mind. And that is why we are losing the young people. And that is why the church is losing even the old people also. That's why the men are gone away. The men are not in the church. They have followed their minds. And the young people have followed their minds. They want excitement. They want excitement. Something that will excite the mind. So the world today is excited because of the internet. Because that's something that's new in the world today. But there is a good news for us. God has something more exciting for us also. And it is the new covenant. God says, I will put my law in the inward part. So we must come to that experience where our minds are submitted to Christ. It is a place of consecration. It is a place of dedication. Amen. So the Bible says, when you are going to make this liver, this basin, this liver is a basin where they poured water. And the priest will wash his hands before he enters the holy place. It was a place of cleansing. And many of us, we need cleansing in our minds. Many of us, our minds are overwhelmed. By different kinds of thoughts, by different kinds of passions, and there is a solution that God has brought. And that solution is in the Word. David says, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The mind has three natures. And those three natures must be submitted to God. But I tell you, we must fight the war. There is a battle we must fight to deliver the mind. I tell you a short story because of time. There was a man called Saul. When Saul died, the Bible says two things happened to him. The Philistines cut off his head, and they removed his armor. The Bible says they took his body into the temple of their idols. Then they took his head and they took it into the storehouse of the idols. They actually took it into a prison. Into a dungeon. Into a very secret and secure chamber. And they locked it up. The brothers of Saul, people from his tribe, they came and they began to fight for the body of Saul. The Bible says that they recovered the body of Saul. And they went and they buried it. But they were not able to recover the head of Saul. So it was that the head of Saul was still remaining in the storehouse of the idols of the Philistines. That is the story of the church. We have not been able to address the issues of the mind. We have not been able to arm ourselves to fight against the things that come against the mind, against the soul. And because of that, the young people are gone. Because the gospel that is coming forth is not addressing the issues of the mind. But there is good news for us. Because God has made a provision to redeem the mind. There is a provision to recover the mind. So when we come to the new covenant, the Bible says, even though we walk in the flesh, our warfare is not in the flesh. He says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Are mighty through God. To pull down strongholds. He said, casting down imaginations. And everything that, every high thing that exalted itself. Against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. To the obedience of Christ. Our warfare is a spiritual warfare. It is a warfare in which all the dimensions of the soul must be saved. So it's not just enough to say you are born again. There must be a consecration of your inward parts to God. You must submit your mind to Christ. The law must be put in the inward parts. That is why you must give yourself to the Word of God. You must give yourself to the things of the Spirit. And when you begin to do that, you are ready to cross over. You are ready to enter into the kingdom. You know, many of us are happy to remain babes. And to drink milk. The milk of the Word of God. You know, where God is your Father. When you know and you tell everyone that God is your Father. And that anything you want, your Father can give to you. You are excited at the promises of God. And that is what the prosperity message does for you. Because it promises you everything. That is the place of childishness. The Bible says we must go on to maturity. We must go on to sonship. You must know that Christianity is beyond God buying a car for you, giving you a wife, giving you a job, all those kind of things that are, you know, that many people are interested in. You must realize that God wants to make you a son. So God must bring you to the place of strong meat. He must bring you into the deeper things of God. And those things cannot come to you unless you separate yourself. Unless you come out from the world. You know, this liver had a base. I will address that and maybe I will come to a close because of time. Your consecration must have strength. your consecration must have a strength and must have a base. Some of us, our consecration is like the morning sun. It's like the morning clouds. When the sun rises up, the cloud vanishes. When persecution comes, our Christianity crumbles. When hardship comes, our Christianity vanishes. There is a Christianity that is being preached today that is goody goody, everything is good. There is no responsibility. Everything is given free for you. You come to God, everything is free. The Bible says that Jesus, even though he was a son, that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Is that in your Bible? Do you find it in your Bible? You see the Hebrews chapter 5. That Jesus was a son, but he was perfected by suffering. When you become a son, then you know there's a place for warfare. You know you have to contend with the enemy sometimes. Sometimes you know you have to deny yourself. And that is the message God is bringing to you. That you must learn to be a son. You must learn to be responsible. You must learn to deny yourself for the kingdom of God. Amen. Paul was a preacher of the gospel, but he was also a tent maker. He was preaching the gospel and he was paying himself. Amen.
Amen.
But the Christianity of today, the pastor does not work. The pastor does not work. You work and bring to the pastor. So everyone is a pastor. Everybody is a pastor. Because that is the easiest way to make money. That is childishness. That is childishness. What is it? It is childishness. That means you are not becoming a son. When you are a son, you know there is a place to be responsible. Amen. When you are a child, your father gives you everything you want. But when you are a son, you bring and you give to your father. Hallelujah. How many of us want to be sons? You want to be a son? Then you must be responsible.
Yes.
Amen. Then you must be ready to deny yourself something for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Then that's how you know you are growing. Amen. So it speaks of a place of consecration, a place of maturity, a place of going on in the things of God. Amen. And Paul denied himself. He said, those things that were gained to me because of Christ, I have counted them lost. That is sonship. Today we see many taking the easy road. And that is why the gospel of Pentecostalism has failed. Because it's not real. It is a false life. You give God 10 pesos, He gives you 1,000 pesos. You sow your gift. 20 pesos. Wave it to the Lord. And you give it. Then God will give you 1 million pesos. That is childishness. Amen. It's childishness. We need to move on. You know, those of us from the third world, they call us third world. You know, we are hungry. And we don't have money. We want to be like America. We want to dress like Americano. So we like the gospel of free, of prosperity. It is because of the lust in our hearts. The Bible says meat for the belly, the belly for meat. Two of them, God will destroy them. That the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. And a man's life does not consist in worldly and earthly things. That is the message of the liver, consecration, separation. Our faith must not be based on meat and drink. It must not be based on handouts. We must learn how to spend for the kingdom of God. And you know, that widow had just a widow's mite. The rich man has so much to give. But the widow had just a little to give. Do you have a little to give? Do you have a little to give? When you give that little, God will bless you. Now, the thing, the little you give is not money. Give him your heart first. He says, my son, give me your heart. When you give yourself to the Lord, God counts it much more than any other thing. So you don't come to God because you want a blessing.
pagkalagad sa Dios, di lang kay gusto na panalangina niya.
You come to God because of the reality of life that you have seen in Christ.
Right.
So God is moving us higher. God is taking us to a place beyond natural things. He is taking us to a place of maturity in God, where we know our soul must be saved. Paul was praying that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened, so that you come to a place where you begin to be aware of God, where your eyes begin to open to spiritual things. And that is the experience. That's the experience of the lampstand. The Bible says that there is a spirit in man. In Job 32, he says that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God gives him understanding. Amen. There is a spirit in man, and that spirit is fed by God. That's what he's saying. Jesus told them, I have food to eat that you are not aware of. And I want to tell you by the Spirit of God that there is food that you are not yet aware of. There is a place of life that you can come to in God. Beyond the natural things. It is a place in the Spirit. It is a place of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:27, it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. Giving light to the different parts of the soul. The Bible said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He's saying that your spirit can come to the place where God begins to enlighten it. There is an illumination that begins to come from God. There is a quickening that begins to come to your spirit. There was a young man called Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon. He was walking among the sorcerers, among the magicians. And the Bible says the king had a dream. But the king didn't know the interpretation of the dream. And they said, Daniel, your life is at stake.
It's okay, keep going.
He said, Daniel, your life is at stake. You are about to die. They said, why will I die? He says, the king is about to kill all the sorcerers. And you are walking amongst them. Amen.
Yes.
Say amen now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the king said, well, you must tell me the dream. If you tell me the dream, then I know you know the interpretation. Amen.
Yes.
That is where the church has come to now. You know, they are talking about cloud computing, isn't it also? The world has moved into a new dimension. Well, I want to tell you, God is doing something about it also. So they called all the magicians. They said, well, tell me the dream. And they could not. They said, King, what you are asking for is not normal. It's not, you shouldn't ask us that. Amen. But there was one man who was different. Daniel knew the dream. And he also had interpretation. Because God began to open up some things to him. So God is taking us to that place where we will begin to function in a higher dimension. You know, so those are some of the things that God will begin to open up to us. But before we can get into these higher dimensions in the spirit, we must come to the place of consecration, a place of separation from the world, a place of giving ourselves to God, a place of coming to maturity, a place of giving our minds and our families and everything to God. And when we get there, we will see that God will begin to do mighty things in our lives. So we're going to stop at this point. And I pray God will be able to enable us to realize that we are the new temple. And we have been called to a new covenant. That we are that new temple God is building. God wants to make us part of Christ. He has called us to be partakers of Christ. And He has called us to the experience of Emmanuel. God is coming down to us. Say, thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen.